let's dive into how we're on the offense with our love, with the love God's put in us. Listen, God's never asking you to use the love that men gave you, parents gave you, bad relationships gave you, because a lot of times, listen, we find humans all over, including ourselves. Let's put ourselves at the top of the list tonight for analysis. We love with a lot of times with the love that we've been given. Let me say it even better. We love a lot of times the way our love's been trained or influenced. But we can do better. We can do better. Jesus said this in the 13th and 14th chapters of John, as well as the 15th chapters of John. He said, I want you guys to go out and love people, but I want you to love the way I've loved you. And as we said just a minute ago, love is the highest form of commitment that exists. And let me repeat that scripture one more time. God has said, Psalms 89:34. Now, why do we say the reference so much? So you can write it down and go look at it and hang your hat on it, as the saying goes. So you can look at it and just fix your mind on it. Man, I heard scriptures and when I was getting started and that have stuck with me ever since. But I'm so glad that the men of God and women of God said where they were so I could go look them up and find, because I needed all the help I can get. And I'm still receiving all the help that I can. You know what I'm saying? So he said in Psalm 89:34, and this is God speaking through the writer. He said that my covenant I will not break, and I won't change what I say. The King James says, neither will I alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Well, what's he spoken? Words of love, words of commitment. Love is a commitment. And faith starts with a commitment. Galatians chapter 5, faith works by love. Faith works and starts with a commitment. Is it our commitment first? No, it's our faith begins when we hear his commitment. When we hear him say, I will. Whew. That's when we know, like, okay, man, hey, I know what God will do. People say, well, you can never know what God will do. Then why did he say so many times, I will? Surely I will. That sounds like someone's letting me know what he's going to do. And he swore it in blood. Listen, man, this is so reassuring. But just like anything else, and as we stated when we first turned all the cameras on and everything, love is not just defensive. We can be on the offense with it. Now, make sure you hear this, because we live in an offended generation. I don't mean give offense as in causing someone to stumble or give someone a reason to fall away and walk away from God. I mean be on the offensive. Do something proactive. And yes, we speak words of faith over our lives and over others, but we can also do things of love. Now, we don't have time to go into a full broken down teaching on love, but this will get you started. Because this is listen, you can get a lot of mileage in any particular vocation, lane, training venue on just the solid, simple basics. There's always going to be more and in-depth, and I'm talking like percentage adjustments. And one particular lane that I find myself involved in, especially to minister along with Misfit Toy Society, there's a lot of talk about percentile adjustments, you know, getting, a fraction of a percent more performance out of, you know, physical performance and fine motor skills and things like that. And those are awesome. But you can also get a lot of percentage adjustments and a lot of percentage upgrades by performing the basics well, the simple stuff, doing the simple things and doing them well. And God's simple things, God's ABCs, you don't need to be a 30-year scholar full of pride about how well you've been educated to get started. You can start day one. You can accept God's friendship and declare that Jesus is your best friend and your boss and Lord in the morning and already be prospering by the afternoon. You've already made the first most important prosperous step of success. You accepted him and you accepted that he's accepted you, you're on your way. So we can take more proactive steps. I want us to look at this tonight. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And when I say I want us to look at this, this is the verse, and this is what, as I was listening to the Lord and talking to him and hearing what he had to say, I don't mean out here, Moses. I mean down in here, in my inner radio, in my heart, in the spirit of man, down in here, just like he talks to all of us. He leads us through our spirit, speaks to our spirit. The apostles in the book of Acts talked about how it seemed good and how the Spirit said unto them, well, the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. So guess what? Wait for it. Where's he going to speak? To our spirit. And that speaking to our spirit will be made known to our mind. It'll be made known to our awareness faculties. I made up that phrase. but it'll be known to our, now wait for it, I'm going to trademark it, awareness faculties. It'll be made known to our consciousness is another way to say it. And what he made known to me was this. And I got a preamble. I got to lead up into this. Let's just keep it simple. I got to lead up into this. There is such a push and a profound pressure to do exactly what I'm about to share with you. And Jesus is going to address. Because as humans, if we do this, we open the door to the devil to run amok in our life. It can be gradual. It can be sudden. But if we'll do what Jesus says, it'll shut the door. Now, listen, I know there's a lot of biblical sayings and phrases like shutting the door and prospering and other things like that. We don't really use those words a lot anymore. Let me say it like this. It's going to improve your quality of life immediately. It's going to improve your quality of life internally. It's going to improve your quality of life in your mental health. And it's going to improve your quality of life in your everyday life. Oh, man. And as I got to thinking about it, I'm like, whoa. As I started to think about it and reflect on it and read the scriptures about it and listen to God about it, I saw that I needed to make some decisions and reaffirm these decisions and if you will, double down on it, like get even more with it. Like, yes, sir, absolutely. This isn't a suggestion. This is a command. But you need to hear this. It's not a harsh and brutal command of just telling you what to do, for Jesus is good and the Lord's good. It's a command for our good to improve our quality of life. Listen, when we tell our babies, hey, don't touch that. Well, we're not telling them to get their finger out of the light socket because it does us any good. Ask me how I know this. We're telling them to get their finger out of the cotton picking light socket to do them some good, to improve their quality of life. We don't want them to have a shocking experience. That was a dad joke, by the way. Now, listen, this is what the Lord's talking about right here. And the more I'm getting closing in on it, the more excited I'm getting. Listen, Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Now listen, judge not that you be not judged. What's going on all over media, social media, a court of public opinion? Judgment. Judgment of men, mankind. Let that sink in. What do you mean, judgment? We are passing decisions on other people. Most of them are like this. We have yielded, given way to thoughts and feelings to where we are making decisions about other people in a condemning and damning way. Oh, I haven't done that. How about this? Man, that guy is just so stinking stupid. I can't stand that guy. That woman, she is such a, use the negative adjective that you want to use. Well, and this is where people sometimes want to argue, like, well, I'm not judging, I'm just saying. You can try to explain it away. I have too. But it's judgment. I'm passing a decision. I am rendering a verdict about another person. Think about that. Now, in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit through Paul says that I want your love to abound yet more. He said, I pray that your love abound yet more and more in all knowledge and all judgment. What's he saying? In revealed knowledge to love even better. And then he talks about this, and in judgment. Quality decisions based on love. So there's a good judgment. There is a godly judgment. There is a judgment that God approves of. How about that? He just helped me get that out just like that. Why is this so important? It's because of this. The Bible uses this statement in Galatians chapter 6 and Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We might get into that Luke one in just a minute. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But the principle is this. What a human plants, a human will harvest. Genesis, the book of Genesis. I'm going to read this to you. You don't have to turn there. Let me find it real quick. The book of Genesis lists out a law. And it's in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. God's speaking, and he's putting laws into the earth that will help guide the creation after the flood has come. And he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, he says, shall not cease. One translation says it like this, sowing and reaping will never stop working. Now, you could take it at face value and just say, well, he means agriculture. Sure, absolutely he does. But in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, it says that he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, breaking down and undermining of results. And he that sows to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting, a quality of life that's far superior. So it's not just physical things. It's our words. It's our actions. What we do, what we give, what we say, how we react, how we proact. What we plant and what we do will come back to us. Listen, I've been there too. But you can see people when they go, how did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? You mean, why did you get treated so poorly when you've had a long history of treating others so poorly? Yeah, I wonder how that happened. Listen, I'm not making fun of anybody, but let's bring this out into the open, because I'm right at the top of the list, my friend. I don't remember the exact, it's just the goodness and kindness of God, because he's wiped it out of existence because he forgave and cleansed me. But he brought up the scenario just now in my heart where I was doing something knuckleheaded, and it probably was involving an attitude towards somebody else. And he said these words to me, and I said, I'll never forget it, but I hadn't thought about it until he brought it back. So he helped me remember it. And he said, do you really want a harvest coming back on that? I remember going, no, 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 sir, I don't. I do not. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I'm going to paraphrase Jesus into the Duke 2021 translation. What you want others to do for you, do for others. People say that's the golden rule, but how many are living by it? How many are trusting God to perform that in their life? How many have decided that that's really how things are? Listen, Jesus is not offering an alternative lifestyle. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, meaning the life and quality of life. There isn't any other. Anything other than his reality is a lie. Anything other than his way is a false way. A false way is a danger way. A false way is a way you're going to get in trouble, and there are no guarantees in it. Listen, his way is the blood covenant way. It's secure. Talk about insured. It's insured by the word of the God of heaven and earth, by his integrity. And that's the best deal you're ever going to get. There isn't even a close second. There isn't even a close 1,000th. There's just his, and there's nowhere else you want to be. It's good. He is good, and his ways are good, and he loves you, and he's made you his best friend. This is where you want to be. So if this is the way he says how we operate and conduct ourselves, hey, this is best friend talking. Then great. I'm so glad to find out. I don't know about you, but for you, listen, for years I've been, especially in the ministry, there's many times I'm like, is somebody going to come along and tell me some of the secrets to prospering in ministry? Because I'm still waiting for that day. You know, they're right here in the book. Jesus said this, judge not, so that you be not judged. Do you want to be judged? I don't. How about this? Do you want others? Man, Dad, you want me to say that? I'll do it. What I heard in my heart was this. I'll go along with, do you want men to others, you know, others to make judgments about you? How about this? Do you want God to make judgments about you? Well, I thought that by being in blood covenant with him, we're free and delivered from judgment. We are. Unless we start judging. And then we expose our lives to the judgment that he sought to spare us from. Let me tell you the story of Job. This is all listed out in Job. You know, it may not have been what your denomination or background goes for, cottons to, or believes in, but it's right there if you have the humility to see it. Job chapter 1, the devil comes looking for Job, and God is sparing Job from his life, and he's looking to spare Job at every turn as much as he can. But what happened? Did Job judge someone? Job opened the door to the devil through fear. Later on, he says, the thing that I've feared the most has come upon me. He feared that his kids had done something to bring judgment. What should he have done? Gone to his covenant partner about it and said, sir, I'm not there with them, but you are. So I trust you. Tell me if they've exposed themselves and done something untoward, done something not in line with our covenant. And I'll do my part to fix it. Trust could have fixed it. Fear made it worse. And what happened? Listen, we need to know this right here and now. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says this. Now this is God made flesh and dwelt among us. This is God expressed. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is the face of God himself. He says, Satan comes, not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Peter says that he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's a destroyer looking for something he is legally allowed to destroy. So let's be very plain about it. Judgment. Judging others gives him legal access to begin judging you in your life. Hey, if you're like me and you hear that, say no more, boss. I decide I judge not. In fact, let's pray that together. Let's forget about waiting to the end. Hey, let's just decide this together. Say it with me. I decide with all my heart. Sir, talking to your best friend, sir, I judge not, just like you told me. Now let's say this. Anytime I'm about to judge or have judged, show me and make me aware of it. Thank you for hearing me. I believe you're helping me. Hey, listen, living a no-judgment lifestyle starts with you and me. We decide we don't judge other people. I know one ministry. I can't speak about others because I don't have a lot of insight into them. And I wouldn't judge. Especially not after listening to what the Lord's been dealing with me over the last several days. But they just seem to be spared from a lot of persecution that others... And obviously they still get some. They get nasty letters and people saying ugly things about them and things like that. But they don't say a lot of, I'm going to say it like this, they don't say a lot of judgy things across the pulpit. They just stick with the word, just keep preaching the word, just keep helping people, just keep sharing what God gives them and go about their lives and be quiet about a lot of judgment. We need to get down to brass tacks about some things as believers. We have not helped ourselves in a lot of situations. One of them has been our conduct. I mean, as a whole. And if we had gone out of our way to be less judgy, we wouldn't have been judged. I'll tell you a story. Oh, Holy Ghost, thank you. He just brought this up. I am blessed with a very large and very networked circle of friends. And there is, now you're never going to be able to figure this one out because of, there's a lot of guys in my circle of friends who don't internet well. And what I mean by that, they can be kind of abrasive, a bit cheeky on the internet. Oh, can they? And, one in particular that the Lord just brought to mind. And I didn't like how this person, interneted. And I made the mistake of saying it out loud to somebody else. Because now it's legal. It's a word. Sure, the attitude itself was wrong enough. But now I had to say it to someone else. And listen, God's our best friend. And his spirit is our teacher. Jesus is not only our elder brother and best friend, he's also our boss. And he's our Lord and shepherd looking out for us, seeking to divert and spare us from judgment and other painful things that may show up and try to destroy us. And he began to deal with me. And anytime this person's face would come up, man, something just bothered me. And I'm not going to underplay it. It bothered me in my heart. And I was just like, sir, what's going on about this? And he let me know. He said, you're being judgmental. And you need to repent from that. I said, do I have to? I mean, listen, I'm as normal as anybody else. I mean, my first instinct was like, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, I just... cousin's kind of hard to like, you know? And he said, you need to deal with this. And listen, he's not trying to hurt me or lay down the law on me or be, you know, tyrannical. He's trying to help me. He is seeking to do good things for me, just like he is for you. And so I said, all right. I do it. And I decided to adjust my attitude, to judge not, to forgive, and decide that I love this person. And do you know, within 15 minutes, that very same person wrote me out of the blue. And we began to chat, and I saw, the Lord gave me insight into their life and the problems. They had, and in their lifetime, suffered significant spiritual trauma. What do you mean spiritual trauma? Well, that's between the Lord, me, and them. But they'd been hurt. And the light bulb went on. I said, oh, I see it. And once I saw it, man, it was like opening the door to an overstuffed closet, and only thing that flowed out was compassion towards them. I loved them immediately. Well, I didn't know I'd decided to love them several minutes prior. I didn't feel a thing. But once God gave me some help and some insight, all that love began to move towards them. That was good judgment. That was godly judgment. That was judging and deciding that I love them and they're valuable and they're worthwhile. That was a success story. And we've been friends ever since. But think about that. I could have missed out on all of that by having a judgmental attitude. Now, there's some other more brutal. There's some harsher realities to this that we haven't addressed. We opened the door to a lot of hardship in our life unnecessarily. That if we shut it by a decision to not judge, like we just did, we're going to avoid a whole lot. We're going to avoid a whole lot of sickness and a whole lot of disease. We're going to avoid a whole lot of financial hardship. You ever heard anybody talk about, man, it just seems like it's one thing after another. I know a couple people like that. And my heart goes out to them. But they are the most judgmental, callous, mean, hard-hearted, say they're Christians, but judge people up one side and down the next, and then wonder why bad things happen to them. And you can't say anything to them because you're instantly going to be wrong and they're going to turn around and take you to task for it. But you can see it a mile away. I don't know about you. I don't want any of that. And that's what God is helping us to see through his son Jesus right here. And judge not. Let's look at verse 2. It's going to give us some more insight into why this is so crucial. We're just in the first verse of this study. Listen, he said this. This is Jesus speaking. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. You and I set the tone for what comes at us by what we do. Well, let's go back to verse 1 again. Jesus said, judge not. Just shut it all down. Yes, sir. Loud and clear, sir. I read you, what was the expression? I read you 5 by 5. I got you. He said, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. The way we dole it out, and the way we dish it out is the way it's going to be dished out to us. Well, you can have a lot of confidence if you know, sir, I've decided I don't judge, and you're shutting me down when I do. You know, it won't take too many times to begin to drastically reduce the judgment in your life if at the moment that you do something judgmental, you stop right there in front of anybody and everybody. And listen, I've done this a couple times. It doesn't feel too good in the flesh, but that's what needs to happen. And she goes, excuse me, that was judgmental. And I repent from that. I judge not. Listen, we hear it in every, we hear it in everyday life so often. You know, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Well, hey, what if we don't? Do we need to, I mean, is judging others really giving us some sort of quality of life improvement? On the contrary, it's seeking to destroy our quality of life in God. Do you know that one of the things that as a minister, this is 1 Corinthians 14, it says that he that prophesies or he that speaks inspired words, meaning in words that God gives, one of the fruits of one of the thank you, Lord, one of the results and effects of giving inspired words, it doesn't have to be, yea, verily, I'd say unto thee. It can be just giving out things God's giving you inspired on the spot, which is a lot of what we do as a ministry. It edifies. That's what the scripture uses in the King James, the word edify. Well, one translation of the word edify means to build up, to charge up, to you could also say encourage, but I like this word. I saw it translated the other day and I had never seen it like this. And it really helped me. It means to enjoy peace, to enjoy peace. I remember this phrase about Solomon's reign as a king of Israel. And it said that the Lord gave him peace on every side. There was no more war. Listen, war and destruction is such a distraction. It's consuming, and it's full of anxiety and fear and stress. Imagine no war, no conflict on every side. Wow. Think about that in your own life. If it was God's will that that happened to Israel, who was a type of our family unit in Christ Jesus, how much more is it his will for us that we enjoy peace on every side? Enjoy peace. Relish and enjoy and live it to the full, enjoying peace on every side. Deciding to judge not with negative judgment and deciding to judge and make quality decisions based on love, on the love of God. Now, we need to draw your attention here. We're going to come back to Matthew chapter 7. I want you to go to the book of Romans in chapter 5. And this is going to be crucial to see so that you know you're not just reaching into the old carnal world and society influence love that you've known all your life. But look at this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified, being declared and pronounced and, wait for it, judged righteous as God's very best blood covenant friends. Hallelujah. It says that we have peace with God through our Lord, our best friend, Jesus Christ. We have peace with him. One of the words in Isaiah chapter 54, where the word peace is translated, means friendship. How enjoyable it is to have a relationship with someone where there's only joy and there's only a sense of bond, unity. I'm good with them, and they're good with me, and we enjoy one another. It's a great feeling. It's so enjoyable. It goes beyond feeling. It goes down into our very hearts. We enjoy it. Well, it says this in verse 5, hope doesn't make a shame, or things that we look forward to don't disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When the Holy Spirit came into our lives and came into our heart and made us that new creation, he completely recreated us now as God's very best friends and children. It says that he brought with and poured out the love of God within us. We no longer have that old, nasty, human, selfish love. Oh, it's there in our flesh, and it can rise up. But in our hearts, the real us, we are nothing but full of the love of God. And that's what we are taking a proactive posture and stance with. When we decide that we judge not, we are using that love on purpose. Do you know this will make you a whole lot more pleasant to be around? I'm going to let you in on a secret in case you didn't know. Now, listen, let's just be honest. Nobody likes being judged. Nobody likes being criticized and trolled and made fun of and taken to task about everything. I don't care how many flaws you see someone else says. Shut your mouth about it and just love them. Who made it? How about this? You ever heard this old expression? Who made you judge? I like something that the book of Romans says in chapter two. It says this: Who are you? I'm going to use a Duke 2021 translation again. Who are you that judges another man's servant? Who are you that passes judgment on a servant that isn't yours? Let's say it even more plain. Who are you that makes a critical, judgmental decision about someone that doesn't even work for you? There's a lot of ministers out there, I'm going to be frank with you, that sometimes do things that I sometimes scratch my head over. But you know what? Their God is my best friend. And I've made a decision. Now, I'm not 100% with it, but he's working with me. But I've decided, sir, they work for you. And I love you with all my heart. So I'm keeping my mouth shut about them. That's just, listen, I don't need that kind of trouble in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I love walking with God, and I love enjoying being best friends with him. Now, listen, that doesn't mean I have to like and enjoy everything they do and how they act. There's just, hey, listen, there's some people that really enjoy how certain ministers deliver their material. But they're not for everybody. There's some deliveries, people's personal delivery style, that I would just, I'd rather hear the animatronic Chuck E. Cheese sing a song at Chuck E. Cheese than hear how they, you know, I'm doing, like when they go, happy birthday, and it's the little animatronic animals. That was the only example that came up. I'd rather hear that than some people, how they deliver what God has given them. Sometimes I find people's delivery such a distraction. I'm like, listen, the material's awesome, but this is, could you just stop? That's personal preference. But I cross the line when I start making a condemning decision about them. Well, that's just dumb. What are they? They're idiots. Now I've crossed the line. They don't work for me. They work for my very best friend. And he's big enough and good enough and perfect enough to love them and help them get better. There may be people who will only hear God's message if it's said in such a style and such a way as certain people use. They may look at how I talk and how I do things as like, it's just not my cup of tea. But God is just so good that he puts enough variety into his family unit that is called the body of Christ. I know people who will spit on the floor at the mention of a certain fast food burger joint. But yet it may be the very one that I like the best. God's just good. We don't have to judge. I heard someone say this long ago, and they were relating this to me from a woman of God that they heard it from, and God bless this saint who said it. Judging others is above our pay grade. Let me tell you, you know what I'm sensing in my heart as I'm just sharing this for the last couple minutes? It's such a relief. We don't have to judge. the world will continue to spin on if we just shut our mouth and enjoy our peace with God. And we'll enjoy it more, and we'll be so attractive to share about God's best friendship with people all around us when they know and trust that we are not judgmental people. I'm pretty plain. And my wife will laugh. She's listening to this. I can be very picky. I mean, even my kids do an impersonation of me. And it's this. There's a process. My daughter was in the kitchen one time doing something, getting some food ready. And she held up one hand and said, "Don't judge me. There's a process." And I went, "Oh, man, I know who she got that from." And my wife's just sitting there looking at me and laughing like, "What have you done with my child?" So I like things a certain way. Don't we all? But my way doesn't mean your way is wrong. Your way doesn't mean my way is wrong. If it doesn't violate Scripture and God's not dealing with you about it, go on and enjoy your way of doing it. You may like my dear friend Scott. He likes to make, how does he make it? Pan-fried ham and cheese, grilled ham and cheese. And on the inside, he puts mustard and barbecue potato chips. But you know what? I haven't ever actually tried it. It just sounds kind of awful. But it may be the most delicate ambrosia that may have ever crossed my lips. It doesn't mean he's wrong. And it doesn't mean I'm right. It just means he likes something different. Do you know what not judging will help you do? It'll help you enjoy your life more. It'll help you enjoy your life more. God has given his love into your heart. Listen, my friend, time is short. And Jesus' return is soon. And it's sooner than we think. I was talking to one of our friends and partners, and she's one of the MTS teammates. And we were talking about this. 1,000 years from now, we will be celebrating what we got to do for God, our best friend, and the opportunities to influence others to enjoy his best friendship. Far more than we ever will where we worked, the stuff we bought, the shiny objects we enjoyed for a brief moment. It'll be what we did for him and who we helped. Deciding to not judge, I'm going to say it like this, will set a vibe in your life that will attract others. They will know they're safe with you because you won't judge them. People are craving someone who loves God to be a no judgment zone. They know they're messed up. They don't need you to point it out. They're looking to get it fixed. They don't enjoy it. But they go to church cultures where all they are is judged. And it drives them away. More sheep have been driven away by the church. Let's fix that around. Let's turn that around. Let's be the church. Let's be a new church culture, each and every one of us in our everyday life. And our life be the pulpit where no judgment comes across it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus goes on to say this in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Why behold you the mote," or the one translation says, "a fleck of sawdust." Pretty small, right? "That is in thy brother's eye, but considers not the beam, the plank, the log that is in your own eye." Here, let me get that speck out of your eye, and you're basically hitting them in the head with that giant log in your own life. Look at what he says here. "Or how will you say to your brother, 'Let me pull out that fleck or that splinter out of your own eye,' and behold, a beam is in your own eye. He said, you hypocrite. You know what the definition of a hypocrite is? It means to criticize another for what you yourself are doing. You know why some people are so critical of others' faults and so critical of others' judgmental over their success and want to tear down successful preachers and tons of things? Because they feel like other people are getting away with things that they're not. How come he gets this? How come they have that? I heard people be jealous of other people sinning and getting away with it, even though they're not. It just looks like they are. Why is that? Because they have flesh too, and they want to cut loose and have a little bit of fun, so they think, and get away with it. So they're going to try to point out every way someone else is getting what they feel like is getting away with something, and no one is. No one is getting away with everything, with anything. God sees all. He misses nothing. He knows. He knows. That's why you and I don't need to judge. I was at a horse show with my wife. She did really well that day. She got first place. I was so proud of her. But there was another person there. This person oversaw like a riding club or a riding team. And they were having, they were being rather unpleasant. And if you know the horse community, you would know that that is not a isolated incident. But we're not judging. So, but they were having a tough day. And I just, you know, I wasn't thinking about it. I just looked at this person. I said, sir, talking to the Lord, I prayed in my heart. I said, sir, what's going on there? And he said this, that's none of your business. Oh, I said, okay. Understood. He said, just know this, they're having a tough day. Can you hear the tone in that? He wasn't going to tell me what's wrong with them to feed a judgmental attitude, but he was going to help me have a loving attitude towards them. They're having a tough day. You ever had a tough day? How about this? You ever had a tough several days, months, years, life? Well, look at what he says next. You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye. Can you hear what Jesus is saying? First, let me help you get rid of your problem. He said, and then you will see clearly to cast the mote out. Now, notice this, out of your brother's eye. Once you've been delivered of something that, listen, was the way Jesus described it, stabbing you through the eye and into the skull. Do you think that caused some pain? And once that was removed and delivered and healed, could you reach in very gently and pluck out the thing that was bothering your brother? Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Amen. I remember the story of the madman of Gadara. And he had a legion of devils. Listen, that's torment, my friend. having one devil is one too many. But having a legion of devils in you, brother, no thank you. And Jesus cast out that legion of devils. And the disciples came and found Jesus sitting with the man. It says that he was clothed and in his right mind. Where did Jesus get clothes? Out in the hills and rocks and caverns and tombs. You can't tell me otherwise. Jesus gave him clothes off of his back. Amen. Because he'd been running around naked, cutting himself. I believe Jesus gave him his coat. Loved him as a brother. And when they began to leave, the man sought to stay with Jesus. He said, I want to go with you. Like, wouldn't you? Like, this man just loved you like no one else has loved you in years. And Jesus said, no, go back and tell them what great things I've done for you. Do you think anybody who was ever tormented of the devil, that man could have some compassion on them? Do you think anybody that ever had a demon oppressor or antagonized their life, that this man had some compassion for that person or that family? Absolutely. Amen. Well, we're getting close to being done for this session. I want to just say this to you before we go. A major way that we can show love to the folks around us and cooperate with God's grace and favor on our life, and that will help our witness, that will help people, how about this, help our reputation with others to trust us with the love of God, is to decide to judge not. Decide, I'm not judging other people. The only judgment I'm given is the decision that I love that person. The decision that they are valuable in the sight of God, and I'm going to be a friend and love them in any way I can. That's the best decision, and that's the only one you and I have to make. Or this one too, I decide to forgive. You know, some of those ministers that I've said, like, man, I just hear their delivery, or, you know, how they, their style of sharing things. And man, some of it just, it's annoying to me. But you know, the only thing I need to decide, I love them. They're God's servant, not mine. And I refuse to judge. Because you know what? God down the road may want me to be absolutely the closest of good friends with that person and be a blessing to them, or having them be a blessing to me, or both. Let's not shut the door. Let's not slam the door to the goodness of God and the grace of God in our life. And let's not open the door to destruction by judging others. Two things before we go. Luke chapter 6. Amen. Thank you, sir. Luke chapter 6, you can just make a note of it and catch up. Luke 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." Well, that's not the whole passage. That's true, and it works. And man, it's worked like gangbusters in my life. Thank God. But back up. Verse 35. Jesus says, "But love your enemies and do good." He goes on to say this in verse 36, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful." The word merciful not only means to forgive, it also means to give love proactively, especially to those that don't deserve it. Hey, do we, any of us, deserve his love? No. No. That's why it's a gift and not a paycheck. If we deserved it, we'd have room to boast. That's Romans chapter 4. We didn't. He gave it. And that's why it's a gift. And it's grace. The only person that ever deserved it was Jesus himself. But then he turned around and gave it to us. He treated us like God treated him. And God now treats us as he treated Jesus. Jesus deserved it. We didn't. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Oh, man, it's just so reassuring. Well, hey, don't you want to cooperate with that good treatment? Well, yeah, you and me both. I don't want to turn around and shut the door on grace. You know why there's certain people that have more grace operating in their life than others? They cooperate with it. And one of them is this. They shut their mouths about other people and decide to judge not. And just forgive and keep their mouth shut. Listen, you don't have to like everything everybody else does, and nor do you have to tolerate every weird or possibly sinful thing. But you sure don't have to judge it. You can say, hey, listen, that's not my style. That's not my cup of tea. But I'm not going to bash them, judge them, or condemn them either. Let's go on and read a little more. He says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. This is Luke 6:37. Condemn not or damn not. And you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Listen, you and I, as blood covenant best friends with God, have no business holding grudges, condemning others, being judgmental, acting superior. Let all that junk go back to hell where it came from. This is best friend blood covenant living. This is enjoying our peace with God. Hey, man, just let it go. Let me say it like this. How much did Jesus forgive you? If you had one infraction, you were guilty of all of it and you were going to hell. He forgave you and spared you hell. You and I can forgive other people, and you and I can judge not. Amen. And then he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. You may be being generous and wondering why, I don't see that happening in my life. Well, let's check up on this. Have you been being a rude and what did Robin Hood say in Hook? You rude, crude, weird dude. Have you been being a rude and crude, judgmental dude? Hey, decide to knock it off. Sir, Father, best friend, sir, I apologize for judging. I repent from it. I decide I'm done with that. Help me not to do that anymore. And I decide I'm not doing it. Thank you for it. Now, you can do this. And now I believe that my giving is working. I believe that my financial planting is working. People are being generous to me. You're slamming the door on the grace, trying to come back to you in all the goodness of God, trying to flood your life when we open the door to destruction and judge others. Jesus said this. I remember when this came into my life, and it's a longer story, but I'd had a personal encounter with him. And I saw this in the New Testament like I'd never read it before. And he said this, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Just those words, I desire mercy. He desires to show you and I mercy every day of his life. Well, aren't we already forgiven? Yeah. But that's not all of it. He desires to show you and I love that we impossibly don't deserve every day. He desires to actively love you and me. And sure, there's trust involved. There's awareness involved. But the step that he's identifying for us to put some emphasis on, to put some attention on for now, is the decision to judge not. This decision to judge not is going to allow him to do so much more in your life and in my life. It's worth being excited about. Now, let me end this with this tonight. Over in the book of James, chapter 2. Just one scripture in James 2. He says, for you shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And he says, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Glory to God. Do you remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? People had brought this woman to be thrown at Jesus' feet to try to catch him in not agreeing with the law of Moses. And all he said was, whoever is without sin, let him throw the first rock. And he just stooped down and began to just kind of doodle in the sand. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, all the accusers left. And he went over and he gave his hand to that woman and picked her up and just said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "There are none. There are no more, Lord." And then he said this, "Then neither do I condemn thee." The only person who could have judged her said, "I won't judge you." In the book of Romans in chapter 8, it says about Jesus. Let me read it to you. It's so, this is yet another picture of our wonderful, amazing best friend and older brother and Lord. It says this: "Who shall lay any charge or accusation against God's elect? It's God who declares righteous and that we've been made his best friends. Who's he that condemns?" You could also say this: "Who's he that judges?" The only one is Christ that died, and yea, rather, that is risen again, and who is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. What's that intercession involve? He is actively praying and seeking for us to avoid, or to have us avoid, judgment and destruction in our life. Amen. Covenant best friend love that we've been given rejoices, celebrates, and is excited about not judging. It opens the doors to a quality of life flowing into our life that we actually crave to have and that God's excited to do. Let me say it again. Judging not opens the door. Yeah, I'm going to say it like that, Lord. Thank you. It opens the door to God's quality of life being enjoyed so much more in our life. Amen. Listen, I get it. Before we go, I get it. I was thinking this week about, you remember in the movie The Last of the Mohicans, and there's that ambush of the convoy of refugees from the fort at the end, and they are ambushed from both sides by Huron and Ottawa and others, and then there's our heroes, the three amigos, and they are running and ducking and diving and moving. They're avoiding this fight and they're avoiding that fight and they're getting out of the way of this person getting scalped. What's that a picture of right now for our talk? That's us avoiding judging every day because there's so stinking much of it going on. But the decision is number one, and God will use it and help guide you and me in our hearts by his wonderful Holy Spirit to help us be alert that if we judge, to fix it. And if we're about to judge, to not do it. Amen. God desires his quality of life to flood yours because he wants people to see how good of a best friend that he is. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. God's so good to us.